Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 31. Richard Choning is the founder and director of Africa Mentor, whose mission is to help businesses put their best foot forward in Africa. Choning is located in Texas. Africa Mentor has official representatives in the Ivory Coast and Ethiopia, and has relationships with governments and private sector businesses throughout Africa. Choning has worked in Africa for 25 years and has been involved in project management and leadership training for more than 40 years. He is fluent in 3 African languages. Richard Choning, it's so great to have you here today. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to it.
I'm so happy you're here, our Africa mentor. And I'm looking to hear so many interesting things from you. I just shared with our audience what you've done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us what you are doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Okay, well, that sounds great. Well, my company, Africa Mentor, it's a name and it sounds like a company, a large company, but it's really just me. And what I'm about in terms of marketing is something that I have never been used to before in my life, and that is marketing myself as a consultant. I was a missionary for 25 years in Africa, did a lot of work with nonprofits, and of course I was part of a nonprofit organization. I did a lot that I thought helped the people, but as far as economical help and really bettering their material life, it was a very difficult thing to do from a nonprofit perspective. As long as there was outside donor money there, then the projects that were started would go well. But as soon as the money disappeared, then the projects as well would fall down. So after working that many years in the nonprofit sector, I began to study how in the world can the economies and the standard of living in Africa be lifted? Because I knew so many of these poor people myself very personally, walked with them in the rural areas for so many years. And I began to find out that the companies that were in Africa, in Kenya and Benin, the two countries that I was in the longest, that really helped were for-profit businesses because they created jobs. And their profitability depended upon continuing with sustainable projects, sustainable business, sustainable products, and that just kept creating more and more businesses, and the trickle-down effect into the economy was much more profound than what I was involved in before. So my dream when I got into forming Africa Mentor was to help the economy of Africa, not in the broad spectrum that I was going to change Africa, but in those people that I could help get into the continent and start their businesses, that they would create jobs and help those people that they were working with. So that's my dream, is to continue to be a part of some kind of development for Africa.
So beautiful. I love it. Who are your customers today? Who are the companies that you're working with and taking to Africa with you?
Well, they're mostly startup companies, companies that are well established, think they understand their own business and they think they can just duplicate it in Africa. A lot of them make mistakes as they go, but they don't seem to look for much help. It's those businesses that are just starting out. And it's usually like myself, a one-person business. A lot of the people that I talk to that have become my clients In the beginning, anyway, they are a one or two person small business just starting up, and they're wanting to enter the African marketplace. Some of the sectors that I've worked with is the pharmacy, all the different medicines and peripherals that go along with medicine and health. Development companies, or those that want to be development companies in construction, residential and commercial, and as well as agriculture. I've also worked with one startup that was doing automotive, in the automotive sector, wanting to sell used cars in Benin. And I've also worked at some in the mining sector. What I've not worked with, and a lot of what I see on the internet of people wanting to get into Africa, they're tech companies. That's not really a field that I understand well. It's more with products and services, hard products and services that can be offered there. I've found, though, I thought that most of my clients would come from Europe and the United States, and that they would be indigenous Americans. Now, I guess not Indians, I don't mean that, but Americans and Europeans. But most of my clients have been Africans of the diaspora, who've been in the U.S. or in Europe for many years, and now wanting to go back home with a business.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so they realize that things have changed back home, and I'm able to help them to understand some of the changes that have taken place. Some of them have never been involved in business before back home in the continent, so I'm able to bring some perspective to them. But I think what I really bring to the table and why they're attracted to me is that I understand them. I understand Africans, worked with Africans for close to 40 years now. And so even those of the diaspora, I'm really attracted to them, and I am seeing that they, too, feel comfortable around me.
It sounds great. I want to ask you, what would be your best advice about approaching the African customers to those who are really thinking of Africa? And we're working with entrepreneurs. A lot of them does think of Africa or put it in their plan, or at least want to understand whether there is a business there. What would be your best advice regarding that?
Yeah, my best advice, both to myself and to them, is when you're dealing with a client, is to listen very well, to really understand what their business is all about. Because I can't really help somebody if I don't fully understand what it is they're wanting to do. And that's not just so I can formulate or create my consultancy with them that would be helpful, but it's also for me to be able to figure out, can I really do what they're asking me to do? And so I guess I would advise all entrepreneurs to really listen to their prospective customers and clients, really study enough to understand whether or not what I am offering is something that they can really use and that they really want. I've gotten myself in trouble a couple of times just saying yes because I needed a client. And when I got into the project, it just was not a good fit. They were wanting skills from me that I just didn't feel comfortable with. So to listen very well and see if what they're looking for is something that I can really deliver, because I surely don't want to deliver something to them that's going to be a failure or cause problems between me and them. That will not bring success for them, and it will spoil my reputation going forward as well.
Sure. I must tell you, you probably heard a bit of that, but this is the advice that all the opinion leaders that we talked with talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When I ask, what is your best advice? Listen to your customers.
Yeah.
Because it's always true. But when we are talking about entrepreneurs and startups that a lot of times are bringing something new, the
sure.
people don't really know what is that. And until now, they did everything by themselves. It's very hard to understand that in this point, in order to bring your beautiful new thing to the customers, you must understand how they think and what they feel they need in order to make the fit that you talked about. So I love it, because you're talking about a totally different, you know, economy and
sure.
perhaps the most developing countries today. But yeah. you're saying the same or even more. Listen more, because they are a bit different.
Sure. You know, and entrepreneurs, and especially, you know, I have more experience with them here in the U.S. Entrepreneurs, we're a special breed. And we think we understand very well what it is that we want to do, and we understand our sector. And somehow we think that what we need to do is just make people understand us.
But that's right.
The most important thing is for us to understand them.
Yeah, that's exactly. I don't know whether you'll choose to talk about your prior world of nonprofit or your current world, but I want to ask you, and I know you have some nice successes, but before that, I would like to ask you, what was the biggest failure that you had with customers, the one that really affected your entrepreneurial journey the most?
Sure. Yeah, I have a couple of them here that I would like to talk about. One of them is one that continues to some extent reoccur, although I've learned now to short circuit it a bit. And that is many, many people contact me because they see Africa Mentor and they're wanting to start a business in Africa and they themselves are startups. A lot of them contact me initially wanting me to find investors for them into their company so they can then begin to market in Africa. And in the beginning, you know, I was willing to try anything, but I just don't have a large number of people that I have good relationships with who are investors. And, you know, wading into something that I really didn't understand and didn't have contacts for, I wasted an awful lot of time. And it was not fun for me. It was not fun for the client because I was in an area that I didn't need to be in. That was not where my expertise is at all. So I continue to work with that. I tell people I can save them time and money, but I can't raise them money. That's not who I am. That's not my expertise. I can tell them about some other people who can help them with that.
I think it's a very important thing to talk about because every entrepreneur that we see and hear, a lot of them already raised some funds. But those who didn't really, a lot of times are looking to raise funds. And I think that those who should help them are those who really focusing on that and bring them a lot of knowledge that they don't have. And I think a lot of providers or a lot of companies that work with entrepreneurs had the same problem at the beginning.
Yeah, it is a big issue. And I understand it, the need to have the capital. And, you know, I can always help people put together their pitch deck and how to approach people. But the actual contacts who are investors, that's a difficult situation to get involved in. At least it is for me.
Sure.
But you asked about other failures. I am a proponent of lean startup, meaning start very small, test it, learn from your test, look at the data you get, look at the responses you get from people, and then pivot and make changes that improve what you're doing, or maybe even head in a completely another direction. I was working with one couple who wanted to go to Africa and to start a used car exporting from the U.S. and selling them in Africa. And I tried to advise them to just send a couple of cars first. Let's see what happens, see what kinds of cars people are wanting and will buy. What is the price range? And it seemed like they understood that the way I was hoping that they would understand it. But within the first couple of months, they put on the ground in the West African country an inventory of close to $400,000 worth of vehicles.
Wow.
They were very, very nice vehicles, BMWs, Lexus. They were in very, very good condition. They would sell at $30,000 to $40,000, which is cheap by American standards, but we're talking about selling them in Africa. They were just too overpriced for the market, and they just couldn't unload those vehicles. So, I learned from that, and it just reinforced into me that I need to get across to my clients. They need to start small and test first before they begin to put a lot of time and money into something. Even myself, my own business, Africa Mentor, all startups seem to change if you're really looking at the data and how people are responding to you. It's not going to look the way you thought it did in the beginning.
Sure, I do agree with you. I want to ask you now about your biggest success due to the right customer approach. Tell us the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something you did right about approaching new customers.
Sure. Yeah, the one I'll talk about is one I'm currently I'm working with and advising. He's one of my best clients because it worked out well in the beginning. He's continued along with me. He is a pharmacist himself. He is the diaspora from Cameroon, but he's been in the U.S. and is a pharmacist here. But he wanted to start a business back in Africa in this pharmacy area.
Yeah.
And his first thought as he began to talk to me was to set up a web page, a web presence, and begin to market medicines that people in the U.S. who were Africans of the diaspora could buy from him and then send themselves to their relatives. So it was sort of an indirect type of business, selling to the Africans here in the United States so they could send it back home, because there's a lot of medicines just are not available, or they are fraudulent drugs being sold on the continent. But soon we found out that just wasn't a sustainable business. Not enough Africans of the diaspora were looking on the web to try and find places that they could buy medicine to send back overseas. No matter how much he worked on his marketing through social media, he still didn't surface enough clients. So we need to pivot. And what we came up together was that he would try to sell to distributors in Africa, bulk medicines. And we did a lot of research on that and began to do some on small scale. But the investment that he would have to put into that to get the licensing for each new drug and each new dosage, each required separate registrations, and along with that, large fees, that wasn't something that was sustainable either. So we pivoted one more time from ideas that he came up with, and that was to begin to sell not medicines, but other things in the medical area to Africa, directly to hospitals and to distributors to hospitals. And that was everything from medical devices to the small Ziploc bags that they put the medicine in. And now that has become rather successful for him. And I continue to consult with him as his business grows. So I guess, you know, the successful part of that is he was willing to allow me to walk the journey with him to go from one pivot to the next to find out what was going to be something that could be sustainable.
I think what you are telling us, you know, everyone wants a very instant success. But I think that what you are telling us, especially about a place like Africa, which is so different and growing and changing all the time, what you offer actually is the ability to walk with your clients there and try the right things in order to find those that really work well for them. So you actually know how to get there. You are not promising to have all the answers without trying, but you know how to try them.
Yeah. And that's what I say to them now, nowadays, that I've learned, is that right up front, I tell them, I am thinking that what you're wanting to do in Africa is going to look different than what you picture it right now. And we need to be flexible and do a lot of testing so that those kind of pivots can take place.
That's great. Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer-focused marketing or sales that you use or somebody else is using and you think entrepreneurs can use?
Sure, yeah. You know, as I said, I was involved in Africa for 25 years in the nonprofit sector, and it was more, you know, one-on-one with people as I was out in the rural areas. But as it began to start Africa Mentor business and began to mine for clients and then to service the clients that I had, I needed a way of keeping track of everything. So the basic tool that I have, the one that I use every single day, is my CRM, my contact relation management software.
Sure.
And I use Zoho. The reason I use them is because they have a whole series of tools on their platform that I can add on and have added on. They have their email campaigns software, they have project software, and they have a mail software. So that's all integrated on just a couple of interfaces. And so that's very helpful for me to have in one platform not only all of my contacts, but all of my conversations with the contacts, all of their emails, and all the tasks that I've ever done with them or for them. It's all in one place. That was something new for me I didn't know existed, and I use that every single day. One other one is UpContent. It's a curation service. And for me to get Africa Mentor out there and to be known, I've chosen to use social media a lot. And I have about 16,000 followers on Twitter, have 4,000 followers on LinkedIn and on Facebook. I need to have them see that I am knowledgeable in Africa and knowledgeable in the field of helping startups. So to be able to get articles, not only the ones that I have written, but from other people and the latest news from the continent and on entrepreneurship, Up Content curates some very, very good articles for me that I can put up into my social networks.
Wow, this is a great recommendation, and actually I'm going to try it. Sometimes a good curation tool can do a lot for you. Thank you for that. Is there any service provider like mentor, consultant, or a book that had a major impact of your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well?
I guess I would say that David Allen's book, Making It All Work Together. It's I don't know if you heard of Getting Things Done. That was his first book. I needed to be more organized. You know, I have my expertise on Africa. I love to talk to people, but I didn't have any real systems in place of how to deal with my day-to-day business. And David Allen's $2, Getting Things Done and Making It All Work Together, those have been very, very helpful for me.
That's great, and we will put them all on the show notes of this interview, so you are all very welcome to see and get into the links. We'll put it on the show notes, as well as any other link of things that we talked about here today. And I want to ask you, you know, there are a lot of things that actually help us every time to succeed. But I would like to ask you, what is the thing that really affected your success the most? What is your key success factor?
Yeah, besides the one I mentioned earlier about listening, I think next to that, or just as important to that, is being patient and persistent. In the beginning, I had to learn an awful lot of things that I never experienced in the nonprofit world. And every time I get a new client, as I mentioned before, from the pharmacology sector, from the agricultural sector, from automotive sector, every time I get a client, it's usually in a new sector. And so I have to learn again. I have to be patient both with myself while I'm listening to them, but digging in and learning again that particular sector to be able to help them. I've always advised my clients that as well. There's not going to be any instant success, particularly when we're talking about going cross-culturally. Business is not done in Africa the way it's done here in the United States or in Israel. People do not understand what you're saying to them the same way it would be understood here.
Sure.
The communication, cross-cultural communication, it takes a while to learn it. And you've got to be patient. You've got to be in this for the long haul. That's not saying you, as I said before, you got to be ready to pivot and to change your direction. But don't look for overnight success. It's going to take months and months and maybe a year or two for you to really see the success. But to be patient and persistent with your clients and with yourself.
I love it. Before we say goodbye and ask you how to contact you, I want to ask you another question. And, you know, we are talking about entrepreneurial business success, and I'm a great believer that the way to succeed fast and as big as possible is through leading your new market category. And it always reminds us of climbing mountains. It's a way that you should do until you conquer the top of the mountain and take the ownership of your market category. And I wanted to ask you, is there a mountain that you enjoyed or tried climbing on or really wishing to climb on?
Yeah, I was in Kenya for 25 years, but right in the first 5 or 6 years, back in the mid-1970s, I had an opportunity to climb Mount Kenya in Kenya. It's about 16,000 feet. I was a long distance runner when I was in high school and college and tried to stay fit even in Kenya. So I didn't worry so much about the fitness, but yeah, I'd never climbed a mountain before. And I have, I've overcome it to some extent, a fear of heights.
Oh,
And you're thinking, I'm going to go up this mountain. Well, it was good that in the beginning, there's a lot of marshes as we went up the first 4,000 or 5,000 feet. And so we were just slogging our way through, trying to stand on top of elephant grass instead of standing in the water. And you know that kept my mind off of the increasing altitude as we were going up. But we spent one night, and then the next day we made the final assault. I said night, really that's what it was. It was still dark. We got up so early. And it was small gravel, they call it scree, that we would have to go up. And it was frozen in the morning.
Oh.
But as the sun came up, it would begin to melt and be very, very slippery. We would have to go up and down that part very, very quickly. So when I finally got up, I was the first one on top, and the guide that was helping us went down to get the rest. So he left me on top at 16,000 feet on this rock for about 10 minutes. I was at first frightened, wouldn't look around, and then I lifted up my eyes and just saw the panorama and was so excited.
It sounds great, and thank you for sharing that with us, and we'll put a photo of your mountain. So thank you. Richard, what is the best way for people who want to connect with you and to contact you?
Sure. The best way is direct email, and my email address is richard@africamentor.com. That's Africa, AFRICAMENTOR.com. I am also on Twitter, The Africa Mentor, and I am on Skype as well, R. Chowning.
Thank you so much. It was so interesting and like touching different world, but I think with the same challenges and passions that we have to find. Thank you, Richard. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.